tonight. Let's talk Bears.
Trubisky to the end zone, deflected and caught. Zach Miller, the touchdown. The first thrown in the NFL by Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes, the marching band for a loss. The Chicago Bears are now 1-4 after Mitch Trubisky got his first start in the NFL. He didn't look bad. He didn't look good. He did show promise, but you know what? I don't have the answers. Adam Hoge does. He covers the Bears for WGN Radio, and he has looked at the tape, and he could tell us definitively if Mitch Trubisky is the star, the legend in the making that we all hope he is. Adam Hoge, good to have you, buddy.
Hey, Justin. Yeah, I thought it was a good debut. I mean, there's certainly things that he needs to get better at, and there's no question there's a lot to still happen that will determine whether or not he is, you know, everything he's supposed to be as the number two overall draft pick. But I think we've certainly seen worse performances from young quarterbacks at Soldier Field. And so all the potential and raw talent was on display. I think it's just kind of, you know, he's got to gain experience, and he's got to learn from his mistakes, and that'll continue to happen.
And learn how to deal with the team's mistakes around him. A lot of it yesterday. 312-981-7200. It's our special Tuesday evening quarterback with Adam Hoge. We will break down what we saw from Mitch Trubisky, but also from a Bears team that in some ways looked ready to take on the Vikings, and in other ways looked altogether confused. The team really seemed to early on be taking sort of feeding off the energy of Mitch Trubisky, but at the same time making boneheaded mistakes, holding calls, slowing down drives. It felt like the Bears were at the entire game were at the Minnesota 40-yard line. Like they just couldn't get any closer, couldn't get into field goal range, but kept getting bounced back because of penalties. I mean, when you think about the evaluation of Mitch Trubisky, how much do you have to evaluate the people around him?
Oh, I mean, you definitely do. Just like we did when Mike Glennon was out there. The difference was that you could isolate Mike Glennon's turnovers and really pinpoint them and put them on him. I mean, at least most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. And that was ultimately his downfall, why they had to make a change. So, you know, you do the same thing for Mitch Trubisky. Absolutely. So you look at the first turnover. He had two turnovers last night. You look at the first one. Well, his left tackle just got beat.
He didn't even touch the guy.
Exactly. And it wasn't like the one in Green Bay last week with Glennon, where Glennon was standing there with the ball in his hand forever, and the whole thing happened in slow motion, and he should have gotten rid of it. In this case, his left tackle just got beat last night, and as Trubisky went back to throw the ball, it got swatted right out of his hand. I don't put any of that on the quarterback whatsoever. The second one, late in the game, absolutely on Mitch Trubisky. He needs to learn that, hey, these are NFL safeties, and they just posted the coach's film, so I was able to see the coach's angle, the zoomed-out version, and kind of get a better look at what happened on that interception. And, you know, there was a play earlier in the game, and you guys just played the highlight, where Mitch Trubisky rolled out to his right on a busted play and was able to direct Zach Miller back to the middle of the field, look like a veteran out there the way he's directing traffic, and that's something you love to see. And he was able to complete a touchdown. He got a little lucky because he underthrew it a little bit, but just the fact he looked like an experienced veteran on that play. Well, you go to the interception later, very similar situation. Miller wasn't exactly in the same exact spot, but it's a busted play, and you could tell as Trubisky rolled out to the right, he wanted Miller to go back towards the middle of the field. He tried to throw it over the safety, but Harrison Smith, who's a really good player for the Vikings, jumped on the ball and used his speed to intercept it. It was a great play by him. But that's the kind of stuff Trubisky has to learn. First of all, time, situation, you have to throw that ball away, but also what your opponents can do. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get away with that pass against, you know, the ACC opponents that you face, but
exactly.
Not in the NFL.
And I also say there's an issue, and I don't want to jump out of place, but it felt to me you don't see too many NFL quarterbacks, you know, pointing one way for their receiver to go. You know, like on the touchdown to Zach Miller, he pointed one way, and then he did a little bit of the same on the interception. You know, the safeties and the corners are watching that as well, and it felt to me that the best quarterbacks, whether it be Aaron Rodgers or others, they do a good job of hiding where they're going to throw the ball and are in this sort of sync with their receivers to know which way to go.
Yeah, and maybe Smith was able to see it on the interception. I think on the touchdown, I'm forgetting who was in coverage off the top of my head.
It was the other safety with the mustache.
Yeah, Sindejo. he had his back turned. So, yeah. I think, we're talking about, you know, veteran – guys who have been out there forever and probably can pick up on little things like that. Absolutely. So, I mean, those are just the little things that I think Trubisky's going to have to get better. But look, where we started this was just with the lack of help. It felt like you put it perfectly. The Bears were just kind of stuck at the Vikings 40-yard line. It was 2-0 for a long time. It was 3-2 for a long time, and it just seemed like the Bears let the Vikings off the hook. They were showing the potential of being able to move the ball, and then they were killing themselves. It's a good defense. You give the Vikings credit, but a lot of those mistakes earlier in the game were on the Bears. Some questionable penalties, absolutely, but also ones that were pretty obvious, too. And you can't have that stuff happen. You can't have drops by Deion Sims. The wide receivers, just they have to play better. And, you know, Kendall Wright, I think, is the one guy who's playing pretty well. But the rest of the wide receivers, it's been a struggle, and it continued to be a struggle last night with Trubisky.
Well, let's do this. Let's break down the offense, and then we'll do the defense. 312-981-7200. Adam Hogue is my guest. It's Tuesday evening quarterback here in the Download, breaking down what we saw from Mitch Trubisky in the loss yesterday to the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. More with Adam Hogue. Stay with us.
Here come the laterals. And the tackle made by Trey Waynes, and that's the game. Minnesota wins for just the second time in its last 10 games in Chicago.
A game that the Bears probably should have won. It's a bummer to think that they didn't, just because, well, we'll get into it. I had a hard time with that last holding call on Leonard Floyd. Adam Hogue on the line with us from WGN Radio Sports. You can find all his stuff, including the Hogan and John's podcast, which is great. Listen to it today. Which is up on the site, wgnradio.com/Bears. Adam, why don't we start with the Vikings defense. Did they stack the box? Did you see that they were sort of forcing Mitch Trubisky to throw the ball?
Yeah, they decided, and this is what I thought they would do. They did concentrate on stopping the run first, and I thought that, you know, a lot of people were on Dow Loggins last night, and I didn't really understand it. Loggins, I thought, did a good job of keeping a pretty basic, low-risk game plan for Trubisky, which is what I expected against this Vikings defense, but tailoring it to his strengths, you know, getting him out on the run to his right, which is, you know, what we saw in the preseason and in training camp, an area that Trubisky is very comfortable with, and the majority of his passes went to the right side, and probably about half, maybe just less than half, were ones where Trubisky was on his move to the right, whether by design or, you know, once he was flushed out of the pocket. But that's all, you know, it's stuff that Mike Glennon couldn't do right in the first four games. So, you know, Dow Loggins, I thought, took a, you know, it was still a lot of run heavy, like it should be, and Jordan Howard had a great game. But the Vikings did a good job of still kind of concentrating on the run while also being aware of Trubisky's strengths of being able to get on the move. And that did slow down the pass rush a little bit, whereas I think they would have been just, you know, firing on Mike Glennon,
well,
who would have been stuck in the
pocket. I was going to say, it seemed like a pretty good pass rush for the Vikings defense. And saying that at the same time, Mitch Trubisky did a tremendous job of getting away from pressure. He was rolling out to the right. He did a great job of evading the rush almost all game. That's trip sack not included. But talk about that. Talk about how the game plan changes when, you know, a mobile quarterback can get away from the four-man front.
Well, you can just call different plays. I mean, it's you can't run a bootleg with Mike Glennon. You can't run a sprint out towards the sidelines with Mike Glennon. It's just not something he's able to do. So you have to bring in extra blockers. And you know what? If there's one criticism I have, it's not really a criticism because I think that this was a smart way to start. You got to start basic with Trubisky, and then you got to see how he handled it. You know, they didn't know how Mitch Trubisky was going to handle all that pressure from a good Vikings defense. So, you know, I do look at, for instance, Deion Sims played more than Zach Miller. I don't like that. Deion Sims isn't playing all that well. He's struggling to catch the ball.
Yeah,
so,
dropped a big one. Yeah.
But this is kind of the struggle that Loggins has right now because there's not a lot of weapons out there, and yet he has to make sure there's enough protection to not only protect his quarterback, but be able to run the football.
Right.
So Trubisky's mobility and this different stuff they can do should allow Loggins going forward to spread things out a little bit more. And that means maybe a little bit more Zach Miller, who's more of a threat, especially with these lack of wide receivers right now. I think he needs to really be on the field. Maybe getting Adam Shaheen involved a little bit more. His blocking's still a problem, but you know, maybe you can get some formations where he's actually lined up kind of more like a wide receiver towards the outside.
He wasn't targeted at all. I mean, let's make that transition to the wide receivers and the tight ends. You know, better performance, I guess, but at the same time, I mean, we're in week five. You get to the point where you have to start asking the question if free agent acquisition Marcus Wheaton is a bust in the way that I mean, he just didn't show up. And when he had the opportunity to show up, he didn't get his feet down in a big play. I mean, it felt like the wide receivers and the tight ends did all they could to put the Bears at third and long.
Yeah, they didn't help, and there's too much of that. Marcus Wheaton's off to a terrible start. There's no question. I think
he doesn't have a catch, right? I mean, did he get a catch in this?
He got one right at the end of the game, so that's his first catch as a Bear. But otherwise, I mean, it's basically nothing now in three games. So, you know, Kendall Wright's playing well. Another thing, if I'm going to have a small criticism of Dal Loggins and the game plan, my issues are more with substitutions and personnel rather than how, you know, specific plays were called. They sort of go hand in hand. But Kendall Wright proved really early on in that game that he could be a weapon for Mitch Trubisky. That's who Mitch was targeting in the first quarter. And he ends up with only four catches when it was all said and done. And a lot of that was because he actually played less than Trey McBride and Marcus Wheaton. I don't like that. I understand he's more of a slot guy, and they want to use those other guys on the outside, and so that's going to take right off the field, and that goes back to, you know, the heavy personnel I was just talking about. You're not going to have as many wide receivers on the field, and you have to pick and choose. But at this point, Wright seems like the one consistent playmaker they've had amongst a bad group of wide receivers, so he needs to be out there more, because you're absolutely right about Wheaton. You know, he's just not cutting it right now. I don't really know what the issues are. He was never all that great. He was more of like a complimentary piece on a pretty talented Pittsburgh Steelers offenses with plenty of weapons. You know, it's a lot different when Antonio Brown's not out there.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's harder to get open.
Well, that seems to be the problem. I mean, even on that play to Zach Miller, when they showed the replay, when you look at the receivers that were covered on that busted play, this would be the interception, not the touchdown.
Yeah, they were all covered.
They're not really moving to the ball. They've got guys glued on them. I mean, we saw throughout the game, every time Trubisky threw to them, it was almost they were always glued on. I mean, it just seems more and more we hear this narrative from the Bears that their receivers just can't get open.
Yeah, and that's a good play to look at, because that's a situation where the running game is out the window, because it's a 2-minute drill, and you got to go down the field and throw the ball at that point, right? But if you look at the routes that were run on that play, they're all like 5, 6, 7 yards, and that's, I believe it was three wide receivers and then the tight end Miller, and they all basically ran the same depth, and they were all covered in man coverage, and none of them were able to get open. So that forced Trubisky out of the pocket, trying to buy some time. He thought he was able to buy the time for Miller to get open, and he just made a mistake. But I think going forward, we got to see this thing open up a little bit more, and it's easier said than done when you're not getting separation, when you're not getting guys open. But at some point, you got to try to take a shot downfield.
Yeah, they didn't
and
do
you
that
can't
all,
just have right? four guys run the same depth. There needs to be different depths on these routes to create different kinds of space.
They said that punter, the fake punt touchdown, was the longest in the season so far for the Bears.
Yep.
passing
and
game.
And it still is.
Adam Hoag, WGN Radio, covers the Bears. We'll take a quick break. We'll get an update on the news tonight with Rob. Come back, and we'll talk about the defense, which played very admirable. I mean, this was what we wanted to see, a defense that was really running around and getting to the quarterback. They did that, but they came up short. Adam Hoag, Tuesday evening quarterback, 312-981-7200. Stay with us.
Seventh punt for Pat O'Donnell. Marcus Sherrill standing back. It's a fake, and it's on target to Benny Cunningham. Still on his feet. He may score. Touchdown, Chicago.
Well, there's a pass play over 30 yards.
Why is it, as a Chicago Bears fan, that I'm a little bit embarrassed by that play? You know, like, I want the Bears to win. There's no doubt about it. But when they couldn't muster any offense and put any points on the board, and they get a safety and a fake punt for a touchdown. You just hey, any way to win, I guess. But the truth is, it's not pretty. Adam Hoge on the line with us here on the download. Adam Hoge, of course, covers the Bears for WGNRadio.com. You can find it at WGNRadio.com/Bears for WGN Radio. Adam, let's talk about the defense. As I was really impressed with the speed. I mean, obviously there's some tremendous injury and depth issues. But let's start with Leonard Floyd and Akeem Hicks, both guys up front who seem to be the stars of this defense.
Yeah, and both had a tremendous game yesterday. Let's start with Akeem Hicks, who is playing like an absolute all-pro. And it was like that way already going into this game, and another highly graded performance. And remember, he's not playing 100% right now. He has a foot injury. He is just grinding through and continues to play so, so well, not only against the pass, but also he's just – him and Eddie Goldman, too, inside are the reason why this run defense is playing so well right now. And, yes, there was Jerick McKinnon got his in the second half last night, and I think that had more to do with the linebackers who are banged up. I mean, they're not going to stop him at the line of scrimmage every single time. And when Danny Trevathan was out there against the Packers a week ago, he came flying in and made a lot of those stops that didn't happen in the second half yesterday. But overall, I mean, it was another good performance by this defense, and it starts with those guys up front. And then finally, you know, Leonard Floyd's had a quiet start to the season, but if you've been watching him closely, he's actually been really good against the run. He's been dropping back in coverage a lot, and Vic Fangio brought up this week, and it's fair, that he was playing with a back injury earlier in the season. He was on that injury report. I kind of forgotten about that, actually. So, you know, I think there's some valid excuses for why the production wasn't quite there early, and he had a really good game yesterday, not only against the pass and the run, and you mentioned it in the last segment. I think that holding call on him in the last series
had ruined the game.
Was absolute garbage. It was absolute garbage because, and there should be a rule against that, that if an offensive player engages a defensive player in a block like that, and then
because it was Kyle Rudolph, he was a tight end, so he engaged as if he was blocking Floyd for a run play,
right,
and then went out in his route, and they called Floyd for holding because there was contact.
And when two players are engaged in a block, they're allowed to have their hands. You're allowed to hold inside the shoulders, okay? So Floyd, correctly, good technique, had his hand inside on Rudolph's jersey or, you know, the inside of his pads. But inside the shoulders, legal position. And then all of a sudden, Rudolph shed the block and went out to run a route. And when he did that, it really puts Floyd in a very unfair position because he has no idea that's coming, right? And so he was holding on. I mean, technically it's defensive holding, I guess. But my point is, you know, in that situation, you have to have some understanding for the defensive player. I'm not exactly sure what the rule is in that position, but as an official, you could just cannot call that, especially in such a big
third
moment.
And five with what? I mean, the rolling out. I mean, that was the game because after that, you know, they were able to run the clock out and kick a field goal to win the game. But, I mean, the referee in that case, I mean, because the nature of that play, Keenum went down. He kneed down. They were going to try a field goal that would probably be about 42, 43 yards, which is not a gimme with the kicker they have. But more importantly, Adam, and this is something you and I talked about in this studio, especially on draft night, Mitchell Trubisky is known for what he does in the two-minute drill. And for Bears fans, win or lose, if we were going to lose that game yesterday, it would have been great to see what we could see from Mitch Trubisky with a minute 20 left on the clock with one timeout or whatever it was. But the refs took that away, and instead they kind of made it a boring end to a game that was pretty messy.
Yeah, and so there was 1:53 on the clock when that penalty was called. The Bears, you know, if they don't call the penalty, obviously the clock's running, so you either choose to call your last timeout there or let the clock run out and give Trubisky that timeout in his pocket. So depending on what they would have done there, he would have had over a minute, though, to have a chance to go down the field. Very likely.
They probably would have lost the game.
But I mean, it would have been tough. But
it would have been fun to watch.
It would have been absolutely fun to watch, and he already had the, you know, he got that, he had the interception on the last possession, obviously, right before that. So, you know, no idea how that's going to affect him. Does it help? Does it hurt? You know, wherever his mindset is. Is he a little bit more careful? You got to take some shots, obviously, in that situation. So it would have been interesting. We have no idea what would have happened. But I agree with you. It was a terrible call, and it ruined what would have been a more exciting finish.
All right, Adam, let me ask you this, because yesterday, once again, and I don't understand, because the defense played well in the first half. Obviously, the second half, they had much more trouble, including letting McKinnon run for whatever that was, 60, 70 yards for a touchdown, which is embarrassing. But yeah. Once again, John Gruden, the guys up in the ESPN booth were pointing out confusion. Christian Jones, the fourth signal caller of the year, not getting his guys in the right spot. But fundamental football, that it seems each and every week on this Bears team, an announcer or somewhere down the line, an analyst, calls out the Bears for not being in the right place, not having their head on right, not taking advantage of a situation. We saw not only that, but the strange play in the first half where they brought the punt team on and they tried to bring, and then they had to delay a game off a timeout. I mean, it's just, once again, it felt like this Bears team was discombobulated and completely ill-prepared. And it showed. I mean, it shows week in, week out. It's embarrassing for Chicago Bears fans to be one of the only teams in the league that every single week they're like, huh, I never see that in the NFL.
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about with Gruden and the defense, because that was after John Temu went out, and that was really when I thought the problems on defense started to show up, especially in the middle when Jonathan Anderson came in. If you think about what the Bears have had at the inside linebacker position this year, here are the guys, and I'm just doing this off the top of my head, who have called, you know, had to call the defense on the field. Jarrell Freeman was first, then Nick Witkowski, okay, Danny Trevathan had to do it. Then he suspended, so you had John Temu doing it, and then he gets hurt yesterday. Yeah. Christian Jones, and I'd have to go back and watch a little bit closer to see if Jonathan Anderson ever did it at any point, but at least five inside linebackers now have been, you know, charged with having the headset and their helmet and relaying all the signals on the field. And that's tough when you have that much turnover, and that's just not Christian Jones' strength, and it's not going to be. I actually thought Christian Jones played a great game yesterday. But you started to see some of that confusion that you're talking about once John Temu went off the field, and that hurt the Bears. There's no question. In terms of what happened earlier in the game, and I actually, maybe more than anything, found that sequence the most embarrassing part of the entire game, which was the first quarter. It's the Bears' second series. They're marching into the Vikings' territory, and they have an opportunity to go for it on fourth and two. And John Fox took too long to make his decision. I was watching with my binoculars, and it matches up exactly with what Trubisky said after the game, which was I thought we were going for it because that's what it seemed like we were doing, but he was waiting for the play call. The way all that goes down in those coaches' headsets are the head coach has to make the decision first, okay? And the offensive coordinator's waiting for that decision before he can get the play to the quarterback, who then has to huddle up and get everyone in order and get the ball snapped. That's a lot that has to happen in a very short amount of time. And when the head coach takes that long to make his decision to go for it on fourth down, it sets everything back. So they had to call timeout. Not the end of the world. They had to call timeout. Probably still going to go for it. Then they tried this nonsense with trying to fake out the Vikings by first putting
I didn't even know that's what they were doing.
Yeah, no, it looked like confusion, but it was actually on purpose, Justin.
Okay.
They tried to basically deke the Vikings, which, okay, if you're the New England Patriots and you're running all that stuff in practice and you got it down and you're really well coached, then maybe you do that. But when you're just trying to play basic fundamental football and get that right for one night, why are you trying all this stuff? So, you know, the unfortunate thing is it actually worked, because once the Bears finally did get lined up out of that timeout, and it was too late, they take the delay
wide
game.
Open, right?
Josh Bellamy on the left side is completely wide open. It worked. But
just ran out of time.
Well, the problem is, and this is getting really into football, I don't know how many people even know that there's actually different footballs for kicking. And so when John Fox after the game complained that the ball wasn't set, and he was upset at the officials for that. But when you're going to put your punt team on out of the timeout, they're going
to
get
the ball,
kicking
right?
ball out there. And then all of a sudden you change your mind, they're going to try to switch the other football. So that's why the football got on late. But the Bears also, and this is my biggest problem, they huddled up. It wasn't a long huddle, but they huddled up. If you're going to run this fake deke thing,
they're coming out of a timeout.
Out of a timeout.
Right. They didn't need to huddle.
Just go. Just run the play. And so I put this, you know, 99% on the Bears coaching staff, really John Fox, and maybe 1% on the refs for not getting the ball out there.
Well, let me ask you this, you know, because we only have a couple minutes left. I have two questions, and I have some text, too, I want to get to. Sean says, defense wins championships. Is this defense, once again, playing admirable and respectable, injuries, everything that, they had to go through, they're not getting the turnover. They're not getting the ball. There were a couple times where you're like, oh, but they're not forcing any turnovers. Is this a playoff caliber defense, or is this a run of the mill, mediocre, middle of the pack defense?
I think it is a pretty good defense. I think specifically the defensive line, they're playing at a pretty high level for getting basically no support from their offense yet this season. And, you know, that makes a difference. When you're on the field for a long time, like that interception killed them because the Vikings had been going on a drive. They held the ball for a long time. They ran a lot of plays, but they didn't really go that far, right? Bears got the stop. Well, then the Bears offense turns it over right away. They got to go back out there. I mean, Akeem Hicks was gassed at that moment, and he still came up with the TFL on the first play after the Vikings got the ball back. So, but they're tired, and so I think these are all valid excuses. Then you factor in the injuries and the suspension of Trevathan on the inside. I mean, I think that they're playing maybe even above their heads.
Okay.
But the point about the takeaways is so valid. They're not taking the ball away. They don't have any interceptions. They're one of three teams in the NFL that doesn't have an interception through 3 weeks. And if you don't take the ball away, you're not an elite defense. So right now I think they're good to very good, but the difference of between what they are now and what they could be would be if they start taking the ball away. They would be, you know, one of the best units in the league.
All right, so another texter says, any chance that the Bears this season would trade for a wide receiver or for someone on the offense to help Mitch Trubisky? Is there any opportunity from maybe they mentioned Sammy Watkins in L.A. or a bust somewhere else that you might bring in as a reclamation project?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, what are you going to trade? You're going to give up draft picks? You want to do that? I mean, these are the same people that were all over Ryan Pace for giving up a couple middle round picks to get Trubisky. It's not smart to be giving up draft picks here. They're 1-4. Unless you feel like you're acquiring a wide receiver that can really help Trubisky's development, because that still should remain the top priority here.
Right.
I just don't know what you're going to give up that's realistically going to get. I mean, Sammy Watkins, they need him in L.A. Why would the Rams trade him at this point? And then, you know, Jarvis Landry is another name that comes up all the time because there was rumors during training camp that they were going to trade him, and Adam Gase came out and said that wasn't going to happen. And again, what are you going to give up for Jarvis Landry? You're going to give up high draft picks?
Right.
Doesn't seem very smart.
All right, my final question tonight, Adam. John Gruden did make a good point last night about the three teams that were fighting for the top draft picks last year. The San Francisco 49ers are 0-5. The Cleveland Browns are 0-5, and the Bears are 1-4. Are we better off at week 5 with this team than we were last season? I mean, is there any improvement to look at a team that is 1-4 and already after the first quarter and a game out of it? Is this team making any strides to be a better team in 2017 than they were in 2016?
That's a great question. I think the answer is yes, because I think the outlook at quarterback is better. Because he's a rookie, I don't know if the overall results will be better. They should be, though, because remember how much Matt Barkley played in the second half of the season last year.
Right.
And ideally, Trubisky is going to get better in each and every week here. And then the defense is better. They got to start taking the ball away. I don't know if that's going to happen. I keep waiting for it to happen, and it's not. But as long as that defensive line stays healthy, this defense is better than it was last year. So I get it, and we're going to start getting in this talk about tanking again. It's just not going to happen. The Bears have been competitive as long as they don't turn the ball over themselves. That's really been the reasons for their losses so far, including last night. You know, the -2 in the turnovers, and it killed them at the end. So I think they're going to win games down the stretch. And you know, top 10 pick certainly seems realistic, but I think it's going to be closer to like number 10 than where they were last year at number 3.
Well, the Chicago Bears go to Baltimore on Sunday to take on another ferocious defense in the Baltimore Ravens. Adam Hoge will be covering that game for WGN Radio and, of course, all of his work at WGNRadio.com/Bears and joins us for the usually Monday evening quarterback, but today the Tuesday evening quarterback because the Bears are on Monday Night Football. Adam, great job. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Justin.